Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix all your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are going to get rolling, and great show today. I am going to be talking about the things that matter most, like getting financially independent, get that do-nothing money going, and we're going to get into a lot of detail about retirement plans. If you tuned into last show, we talked a lot about the mistakes that people are making with their 401k by doing the improper allocation and, you know, just really not doing the things they need to do. And so I had some questions that came in, and I thought I would start with that. And then as we go throughout the show, I'm going to detail all the different ways you can invest your money when it comes to stuff like that. Because your entire retirement plan is in your own hands. And as a result of that, you need to know what you're involved in. And for the most part, very few companies have great educational programs to help you choose your 401k options, or if you're out there trying to do some things with, maybe rolling over your 401k into an IRA, we need to know how to do this, all the little rules that go along with it. But I had some questions. The first one is, what are the most important things you should do if you want to get ahead and save money? Well, there's three things that I have found over years of experience. The first one is get started early. Put time on your side. That's step number one. So we want to make sure that no matter if you can just save a little bit. I remember when I first started, I started with a $50 a month mutual fund. $50 a month. And I had $100 going into a money market. That was my emergency fund, which, you know, of course, the defense is you got to work on getting out of debt. I started with $100 going into the emergency fund, 50 in the mutual fund, because I still had debt, you know, but I was one of those that said, hey, at least want to have 50 bucks, you know, going into something long term. So I did that. And then eventually I was able to get out of debt. And when I got out of debt, I was able to take the car payments that I was paying, which was over $600 a month. And I was able to convert that into really saving some money and moving forward. So the first thing is time. So I encourage people, especially if you've got children that are, you know, like me, I've got four kids, and I tell them and I get them started. You know, my daughter's 28 and she's getting ready to be 28, and she has been doing a Roth IRA now for, I guess, since she got out of college. And so you want to get them started early. If you are out there on your own and you're trying to get it going, the most important thing is to understand every dollar that you put aside is going to have a timeline to it as to how long it's going to grow. So if you put aside a dollar when you're 25, you have 40 years for it to grow. If you wait until you're 35, you only have 30 years for it to grow. And if you wait until you're 45, you only have 20 years to grow. And that's when a lot of people start thinking about it. So time is number one. Number two is rate of return. We talk about the rule of 72. Rate of return will determine, you know, your overall outcome. And just to give you some little stat that I read, if you're 40 years old and you're saving for your retirement, over the next 25 years, just a half a point increase in return equals 5 years of additional income on your investment. Think about that. If you just get a half a point extra, if you get a full point of return from age 40 till 65, or you end up with you get 13 years additional income. And you say, well, how would I like, if somebody told me right now, all you got to do is make a better decision where your money is, and we're going to give you a bonus. Here's the bonus. 5 years of income where you don't have to do anything. Hey, if you do a little bit better and get 1% extra, we're going to give you extra 13 years of do nothing. That's pretty cool, right? And so what we do, the second part on this question is, what are the most important things? First one is you got to start early time. The second one's rate of return. And then the last one, which is most important of all of them, and that is you have to automate it. Now, what I mean by automating, you have to have it automatically pulled out of your checking account. If you think you're going to put your money in at the end of the year, it probably won't happen. Or you have it automatically pulled out of your paycheck. That's what the benefit, one of the biggest benefits of a retirement plan through your work is that you can automatically do it. Additionally, you can get, matching funds, things like that. And so three most important things to get ahead, rate of return, time, and automation. And so think about that. Then the next thing is you have to have a goal. And the goal is to one day get completely financially free. That's called your financial independence number, your FIN number. I know I have a friend of mine that's got a big business up in Canada, and he told me about what he does. He said he's been doing this for years. You know, those little magnets that people put on the refrigerator. He thought, well, I'm going to come up with something unique. And so every time he meets with someone, what he does is he calculates their FIN number. That's the amount of money needed to quit and never run out of money, keeping up with inflation, everything. So your FIN number is an amount. So let's say 30 years from now, you want to have, you know, $100,000 a year in today's dollars, then you know, you start looking, so with inflation and everything, I need $2.6 million, whatever it is. And then you come back and say, well, it costs $1,400 a month. Well, he takes that FIN number. He says, here's your FIN. He puts $2.6 million. He writes it on that little magnet. And he says, here's the amount of money you need to be saving. And then off to the races you go. How about that? And so that's how you go about really developing a system to start getting yourself ahead. And so we're going to get into today the goal, the plan, the schedule a little bit, and then we're going to get into really all the different places you can put your money in to invest in your retirement plans. So today's retirement plans, all the way. Stay with me. We'll be right back in just a short break.
Would some extra income or a new career be something that would ease some of the stress? Hi, this is Roy Matlock Jr. In today's world, you definitely need a work-from-home plan. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and register for the next Join Our Team event.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and I'm back. And today's show, if you're just tuning in, is, you know, how to get your retirement plans going in the right direction. And, you know, we started out by saying, what are the most important things you need to do in order to save money? Number one is you need to have time on your side, get your money working early, start as soon as you can. If you're, you know, my goal for anybody in their 30s is to get $100,000 by time you're 30. If you're in your 20s, get $100,000 saved. Now, how do you do that? Well, it sounds like impossible. No, here's what you do. You live on nothing for 3 years. If you're married and you save one income and you got your $100,000 and there, it's over with. Sacrifice for 3 years, get yourself set up. All right. So that's one way of doing it. So you get time on your side, you get rate of return by getting the right, your money in the right places. And the third one's we automate all of our savings, and we do that by setting up automatic drafts out of our checking account, or we also do our 401k. So then we say to ourselves another question, how do I figure out how much money I need to retire on? That's called a FIN number, a financial independence number. That's called do nothing money, the kind of money you do nothing for and you keep getting paid. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, all right, I'm done. Checks are going to come in from now on every month, just like I was working, except it's my money working for me. Well, that's your financial independence number. So let's see how that works out. The way we calculate your FIN number, first thing is this. We come up with a plan of how much money you would like to quit on today. You say, you know, if I had, and I always tell people $100,000 should be a minimum number you need to be thinking about, because it costs a lot of money to be able to live. So let's just say that your number's $100,000 and you want to quit and have $100,000 a year, do nothing money. You want it to grow a little bit every year because as things get more expensive, you got to assume inflation. So let's say you got 8% on your money and you pull 5% out. Here's what would happen. You would need $2 million saved. And if that $2 million got 8 and you pulled 5, it would grow with inflation a little bit and you would have the equivalent of $100,000 a year from then on out. What about that? So $2 million, or another way to look at it is 20 times your income is your target number. That's your target number. Now, once you understand that, you say, well, I don't have 20 times my income. What do I do? Well, we start looking at it. We say, well, let's come up with a plan. All right, we got our goal. So let's come up with our plan. Well, the first thing is this. Let's set the goal at 30 years out. So 30 years out, We look at it, we say with inflation, I need about three times that. So I need $300,000 a year. A little less than that. It's about the rule of thumb. So we got $300,000. Well, what do I need? 20 times, I need $6 million, right? So I got my number, 30 years from now, $6 million. Then I back out and I say, well, my real FIN number is $6 million. I've got 30 years. I have this much set aside. I put an assumed rate of return on that. And I say, well, the money I have now is going to be worth 30 years from now, $500,000. So I'm $5.5 million short. I then come up with an assumed rate of return. I say, I need to set aside X number of dollars a month. We now know that you got to set aside $2,000 a month for 30 years, and plus the money you already have saved, and you will be financially independent. Then you say to yourself, well, I don't have $2,000. What am I going to do? Well, there's two things you can do. The first thing is you can look for a way to cut some cost out. I'll talk about that when you're setting up a budget. You say, I'm going to fire every bill I have, everything I have. I'm going to take my full income, and then I'm going to re-spend it on things that are important and cut some costs. That's one way. The other thing is you can raise your income. How do you raise your income? Do more, know more, become more valuable. Next thing you know, you raise your income, and now suddenly you created a bigger gap, and you're like, man, I can do that. I can save $2,000 a month because now I'm making more money. I got lower expenses. I'm still living good. I'm not wasting money. I'm doing things. Hey, it'll work out. I can do that, right? So then we come up and we say our FIN number is $2,000 a month. Let's get busy. And then all we do is we make sure at the end of the year we put $24,000 aside into a good investment. We take the three things that are important, time, rate of return, and we automate it. And guess what? You go to bed at night and you say, you know what? I can quit in 30 years. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise my income even more, and I'm going to move my timetable up. So now I don't have to wait 30 years to be able to quit. I'm going to do it in 25 years. I'm going to do it in 20 years. And I'm going to get excited about getting financially independent because I have a goal, right? I mean, one of the most important things keeps anybody motivated is a clear, concise mental picture of what they want to do, where they want to be. You know, you think about it, you want to get excited, just start dreaming a little bit. Think about, you know, how great it would be like if you were able to do everything you wanted to do, travel and buy the house and buy the car and do the things for your kids and church and family, all that kind of stuff. So how do you go about doing it? Well, you got to have the resources, and then you get motivated. Next thing you know, you double and triple your income, which people do that all the time because they're working on it. And then suddenly they're moving up way quicker. And before you know it, they're like, life is good. And so that's what you do when you get a goal in front of you called a financial independence number. Now, you're going to have different sources of income. You're not just going to have the money you save, all right? You're going to have Social Security. You might have some, you know, put some money in real estate. You may want to do that. You got all these different kind of things. But the long and short of it is that you put together a game plan to hit the number monthly that will allow you to get where you want to go, and you are on your way towards your financial independence number. And that kind of answers a couple of the questions. One is, how do I figure out how much I need to save or I need to retire? That's 20 times. What's the FIN number? All right. What should we do on that? Now, I have other questions here that I'm going to get into. I think what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to go on into the next part, and we're going to talk about understanding the choices. You know, we talked about the goal. You know, we got to get a rate of return. We got to get all that kind of stuff happening. And so we're going to get into understanding the different choices you have when you go and invest your money. If you're looking right now, you've got, you know, the stock market. We'll call it the market. The market's made up of stocks, bonds, and cash, or you can say like a money market would be cash. A bond is a loan. A stock is where you own. And those are three of the different places that mutual funds end up putting your money in. So let's start with, what is a stock? Stock is an ownership position. I tell people you would be much better off to own than to loan. Now, what is loan? A loan is a bond. So what happens is a bond and cash are where you loan money out and they guarantee your principal in many cases, or they get you an interest rate and you get a return in the form of interest. Now, if you have stock, you have ownership. So I tell people always become an owner, not a loaner. And why is that? Because if you own the bank, it's a better deal than loaning your money to the bank. If you loan your money to the bank, they get a low rate of return. They give you a low rate of return. And the next thing you know, they loan it right back to you. I'd rather own the bank, right? So how do I own the bank? I just own stock in the bank. So now I get a system where the bank has figured out, hey, we're going to get people to loan us money at less than 1% and loan it back to them at 18% on the credit card. I mean, how would you like to be able to run a business like that? That's a cool way to make money, right? Well, you're not a bank, but you could own part of the bank. And that's what we tell people is you got to become an owner, not a loaner. Now, I want to hit something real quick as we go into the break. You know, saving money is not an option. So you need to realize that. If you're sitting here right now and you're saying, oh, I'm going to put it off, stop procrastinating. I'll be right back. We're going to be talking about the choices of where you put your money.
Hi, this is Roy Matlock Jr. Would you like to fix your finances once and for all? Join our one-hour free 12-week course and learn the A to Z of personal finance. To register, visit roymatlockjr.com.
All right, we're back. Segment three. And we're talking about getting ahead, understanding the different investment choices. If you're just tuning in, stocks, bonds, and cash, that's your market. Then the other thing is you may think about as an investment choice, real estate. I want to remind you that, you know, the difference in real estate and putting your money in, say, a mutual fund is a real estate investor is really a real estate business. And I say that my dad was in, you know, he had multiple houses and properties and stuff like that, but he also had someone that worked for him. And so what happens is if you're going to get into the real estate as a real estate investor, realize it's a real estate business. I'm not going to get into the real estate today, but, you know, if you're going to do something like that, just realize that it's a little bit different. But, you know, I've always been the guy that goes the market rate, you know, stock market, stuff like that. But today we're going to talk about that. But I will have a show where we talk more about real estate. And I grew up, my mom and dad bought their first rental property at age 19, and they've never been without a rental property. My dad passed away 5 years ago, but my mother is 96 years old and still collecting rent. What about that on some rental properties? So what is that, 19 to 96? That's hadn't been too bad. Other people creating what my dad called making money while you sleep money. You know, because you pay money, you're always spending money while you sleep. You might as well make money while you sleep. And so today we're going to talk about that kind of stuff, except it's going to be geared toward the market. So basically, if you go out and you want to get into the market, I always tell people, don't ever for a second think that you're going to outperform these guys over a long period of time that are professional money managers. You know, I was at an investment conference at a mutual fund many, many years ago, and they interviewed, they had one of the analysts for one of the big mutual fund companies to come in, and he said, my background is I'm a medical doctor. And he says, I'm a medical doctor. I graduated from XYZ Medical School. And he said, then I went back and I got my master's degree in business and decided I would get into the investment business as an analyst. And he said, so the most likely thing for me to analyze was pharmaceutical companies. So I've been doing that for X number of years. And he says, here's what we do. First thing we do is we meet with all the CEOs of every company that we meet, all the C-level employees, and find out what they have to say. And then from there, we go visit with the regular, you know, rank and file employees to see what their attitude is. He said, then we may go down to the research and development area and find out what's happening with that, what have they got coming out, you know, that's good for people and all that kind of thing. He said, then we head over to the doctors' conventions and I talk to the doctors, see what they, what they're prescribing, what they think about the drug itself. And then we go meet with some of the patients, see how the patients are doing, how are they responding, that kind of thing. And then once we do that on every company, we decide which companies are best, and we kind of line them up A through E, and we only put money in the best ones. But before we even do any of that, we send it to DC and find out what the outlook is for pharmaceuticals and profit outlook and things like that. And then we put some money in. And then once we do that, most mutual funds will put in no more than about 3% in any one of the stocks that they research. Isn't that crazy? And I have people tell me, well, I think I'm going to make some money in the stock market. And they spend 15 minutes a day Googling, you know, something, or they read an article and they go buy something and put their money in and stuff like that. And so, guys, what I would say to you is this. Take your money and put it with professional money managers. And there's so many great mutual fund managers out there and that you can put your money into. And so let's talk about how a mutual fund works and then the different types of mutual funds. So what happens? Typical mutual fund, you've got a couple of different types of mutual funds. Maybe we could call a third one. The first one is an index fund. And the way an index fund is, it's got some benefits. The stock market, we can go back about 85 years. Stock market's averaged about 10%. And if you just put your money in a cross section, say the S&P 500, what would end up happening is you would have averaged about 10%. For 85 years. And if you look at 10%, your money doubles every 7 years. You say, that's pretty good. I like that. And so what they do is each night they update their portfolio to reflect the S&P 500. If that's your index you're going with, if 3% of the market cap is in Amazon, well, they got 3% of your money in Amazon and so on. And it's called an unmanaged index. It's very low cost. And people say, well, hey, it's pretty good. You know, it's averaged 10% over the long period of time. So that's an index fund. The other side is you go in and you buy a professionally managed mutual fund. And that's where you have portfolio managers. And they look and they say, you know what, that index, that S&P 500, we don't like these stocks. We're not going to put any money in them. We like these stocks over here, and we really like this one over here, and we're going to put more money in the ones we think are great. We're going to do less money in the ones that are average, if any, and then we're going to out all the rest of them. We're not going to do anything with them. And so what we're going to do then is we're going to put your money in. We're going to charge you a management fee, approximately 1%. And that 1% management fee is in order for us to do all the research and things like that. And then that way we can put your money in the best, you know, funds available. Makes sense. So that's a managed fund. Then the other, now we have what we call an exchange-traded fund, ETF. And what they are is they're traded like stocks, but you can also buy the index. And their main benefit is you can trade during the day, and you can also, it's kind of a low cost. Most people, when they go out and get financial help, they will pay someone to a management fee, typically 1% or something like that, over and above the cost of the funds to manage your money. So that's kind of the outline of the way a mutual fund works. So you've got an index fund, you've got a professionally managed mutual fund, and then you've got the ETFs. And then you say, well, which ones are better? Well, let me give you some examples. Index funds, a lot of the mutual fund companies that are professionally managed mutual funds don't beat the index. And you say, well, then why am I paying them? Well, that's the question. Why are you paying them? But some of them do beat the index, and there are a lot of them that have consistently beat the index. And so what if you could go in and find a fund that stayed equal with the index or maybe even outperformed it, but at the same time took less risk, or something called beta? And we'll talk about that. So what I look for when I'm putting people into investments, I always try to find something that's got below average risk and above average returns. And then that way I'm getting a great risk adjusted return. And so what I do, okay, is try to sort that kind of stuff out. And so if you're out there right now and you've got a 401k, what you're going to want to do is find out the, you know, what are you in? Are they really good? Are they not? Whatever it may be. And so what we do is, as an investment advisor, is we try to match up funds that make sense to you based on your risk tolerance. And so when I meet with people, and if you meet with a financial advisor, we're not looking for the highest performing mutual funds. We're looking at the funds that you will put your money in, feel comfortable, sleep well at night, and continue to leave it there, because the key is to leave your money in there long term. If you leave it in there long term, you end up doing well. And so we're going to come back at the break, and I'm going to go through the types of funds in this last segment, everything from a money market fund all the way to an aggressive growth fund. And we'll give you the pros and cons of index funds versus managed mutual funds. And so stay with me, and I'll be right back.
Would some extra income or a new career be something that would ease some of the stress? Hi, this is Roy Matlock Jr. In today's world, you definitely need a work from home plan. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and register for the next Join Our Team event.
All right, we're back, Roy Matlock Jr. And if you're tuning in today, we hopefully you guys are learning because, you know, money is going to be something that's always going to be one way or the other. It's going to be either good for you or bad for you. You're either going to be happy or sad based on where your money is. I know people that have a big gap between their income and expenses and they're saving money. They're like, life is good. Life is good. But then if you're in debt and you got problems and, you know, the money's going the wrong direction, life is not good. I've never seen anybody wake up and say, man, I'm so excited. I'm broke. All right. How about that? I've never heard that. I hear people that, man, life is good. I got my money going. I'm making money. Everything's good. And so with that being said, we're going to help you get your money good. And so now let's say that you're looking at your 401k choices and you're like, I don't know what to do. I have no idea how I should invest my 401k. So I'm getting ready to give you some choices that you can make. So let's start out and understand what a 401k is. It's a long-term investment. Now, a long-term investment means that it could be 40 years from now, it could be 30 years, or you could be getting near retirement when you're going to start pulling it out. So a lot of your retirement plans give you some simple options. So what I tell people, if you're at a point in your life where you say, you know, I really don't know what to do, I'm going to find out what to do, but right now I don't know what to do, you're going to probably have some options called target date mutual funds. So a target date mutual fund, the way it works is this. All you have to do is say, okay, it's 2020, we'll say for the sake of it, and I'm 35 years old. I've got about 30 years till retirement. I'm going to pick the 2050 plan. How about that? Isn't that great? So I tell people, if you don't understand it and you don't have anybody helping you and you have a choice to buy a target date fund, I generally tell people to pick that. And what is a target date? What a target date does is it takes your money throughout your lifetime and allocates it on a model that would probably be about right for someone accumulating money and someone getting close to retirement age. Now, is a target date or anything I say on this radio show specifically perfect for you? Not necessarily. That's why you meet with someone. You get specific advice. And then that way your risk tolerance and everything that goes along with it. But what a target date does, it works like this. So when you're young and you got 30 years to go, they're going to be mostly in stocks. Matter of fact, if you're young, what you would hope is that the stock market goes down. And it goes down for a long time. And the reason that you like that is because as it's going down, you're buying on a monthly basis at a reduced price. So one of the things that's always been said is that you make money in the bear markets. That's when the markets are down. You just don't realize it at the time. So people that were in the market back in 2008, and when it tanked. What happened is those people who were putting their money into a 401k or a regular retirement account, you know, like a pre-authorized check, they saw their lump sum decline and then eventually come back, and it came back above where it was, you know, and some. But every month as they were investing, while that money was down, they were buying discounted shares of stock. How about that? And all those shares that they were putting in on a monthly basis during that decline, they were making big money on it, because it, when it recovered back, they had been buying it on the down. And that's what the benefit of being able to consistently invest your money. And that's why I say automate it, always automate it. But hey, you buy one of those target date funds, and here's what happens. As you get near to retirement, they go from stocks, which are more risky, more volatile, to bonds. And then when you get to retirement, you end up, if you stay with it, most of the target date funds will manage your money as if you're pulling it out, and it will stay that way for the next 30 years. And they show you exactly, they do exactly for you. Don't do anything. You can fall asleep and it's being managed. Now, is that necessarily the best place for you? Well, here's what I would tell you. If you have no idea how to do it, choose the target dates. Keep listening, and we may do something different. So as we go into understanding the markets, here's what happens. The first thing we do is we look at stocks, bonds, and cash. What's cash? Cash will be a bank account, a money market account, something like that. Those are not long-term investments. Mutual funds will hold some of that just because of the fact that they are having money for if somebody wants money, they can sell it and stuff like that. As we move up, we have different type of bond funds. We have short-term bonds, long-term bonds. We have bonds. The longer-term bond generally has a higher interest rate. We have corporate bonds and municipal bonds and junk bonds. So what is a municipal bond? It's a tax-free bond. So if you own something like that, you would get tax-free income. If you buy a corporate bond, that's going to be your big, what we call investment-grade bonds. Those are bonds that have our underlying companies like Exxon and things like that. And then we go up to junk bonds. That would be companies like maybe an airline that would be a junk bond, because airlines do go out of business, not generally, but they do. And so why do you buy a junk bond? Well, you buy a junk bond fund because it has a higher yield. All right. And you get a bigger interest rate. So what you do when you go in, you have bond funds and then we have stock funds. And then you may have seen something called a growth and income fund. A growth and income fund, that means that the stock pays dividends. If I related a growth and income fund, I could relate it to real estate. You buy a rental property and you buy it for $200,000 and you rent it out. Well, that's the income that comes in. Then you're hoping that the house you bought it in a good area, that it's going to go up in value. That's the growth. And so when you buy a growth and income fund, there you're hoping that the stocks will appreciate and they pay a quarterly dividend. That's growth and income fund. Then we go to a growth fund. A growth fund is going to be investing in companies that are still expanding. You know, the Starbucks of the world tend to not pay dividends. What you're buying it for is you're buying the stock for $60 a share with the goal that it's going to go to $120 a share. Then we have what's called international and global funds. International fund will invest outside of the United States. To give an example, 2/3 of your stocks that are available are outside the U.S. Even though the U.S. is the biggest market, 2/3 of the overall world economy is outside the U.S. That's when, you know, they put their money in Mercedes-Benz and things like that. But there's others that we think are U.S., like Nestle and Johnson & Johnson, you know, things like that, Swiss and British companies, things like that. And then we go down to a global fund. A global fund will have U.S., and non-U.S. or worldwide stocks, whereas international only is outside the U.S. And then finally, we go down to what we call an aggressive growth fund. Those will be the ones that are the small companies that are, you know, the Googles of tomorrow and the Facebooks of tomorrow that are new and, you know, maybe are not going to make it or they may make it. All right. So then what we have is we have these choices. Then we have one more choice called a balance fund. A balance fund will have some stocks and bonds. So now when we look at this little moon shape, in the middle, we have a balance fund. And on the right-hand side, if we were looking at it, we have the most conservative things. On the left-hand side, we have the most aggressive things. So as we move more aggressive, okay, from the right side to the left side, we move from from bonds into stocks. We go in and we raise our risk with the intention that we raise a return. In all of those different types of accounts, you can buy mutual funds that invest in that. If you buy a mutual fund, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find that the mutual fund itself will have hundreds of stocks in it that they professionally look at. If you buy the index fund, they will own the entire index. You can buy an international index, you can do all that kind of stuff. So now, should you buy a professionally managed mutual fund or should you buy an index fund? So let me give you some pros and cons. All right, so to begin with, the index funds will be less expensive. That's a pro. The con is the index funds are always invested. So in a down market, the index funds tend to get hurt more. Why do they get hurt more? Primarily because of the fact that when you're in an index fund, they are always putting the most money in the companies that have appreciated the most, because whatever that market cap is, they have to put that in there. So am I a believer of index funds? Nah, not really. But comparatively speaking to a lot of the mutual funds, yeah, the index is better than some of them. But there are many mutual funds out there that have consistently outperformed the market and done it with less risk. So if you can find something like that, that's a great place to go. All right. The next thing is, what are the pros and cons of a professionally managed mutual fund? Well, here's the pros. The pros are some of them will outperform the market and they will do it with less risk. That's positive. Negative is some of them don't. All right. And so why are you paying additional fees to not outperform the market? And so when we analyze all this kind of stuff, then we get a plan together and we say, how aggressive am I and how comfortable will I be if the market drops 10%, 20%? I'm not comfortable with that. Well, then we get a little more aggressive. If I'm near retirement right now, how comfortable would I be with a 2008 market decline like that? I'm not very comfortable with that. Well, then we don't need to be fully in the market. So what we do is we start analyzing this. And the more we analyze it, we start figuring out. And this is where you get with a financial advisor. And that financial advisor will in turn be able to talk to you and give you the what ifs. And they do what's called a risk profile. And that risk profile is they ask you questions about, you know, if I'm meeting with someone and they come in and they've had all their money in the bank and now they want to invest money. Well, I know they're very risk averse, because if you think about it, who would have all their money in the bank when it's not even getting any kind of return? Well, they're very risk averse. So I'm not going to move them into an aggressive growth mutual fund, or the little old lady that's 87 years old and it's her last money. We don't put that person in the aggressive funds. But then again, if I have a young guy that's getting started, I'm not going to put them in something real conservative, because they have a lot of time in order to do things. So if you're in the at or near retirement stage, you're probably going to back it down. If you're young and getting started, you're probably going to crank it up. And so what we do when we meet with people is, a financial advisor, we analyze and then we make recommendations. And so I hope this show today has been something that, you know, is getting you started. You know, I can talk for days and days on what to do and when it comes to allocating your money and things like that. And so stay tuned. I will be continuing this show. I've got some good ideas that I think all of you will want to know, so you can get more and more educated with your money. You know, I hope you're enjoying the show. And once again, I get people all the time. They say, man, I heard your show. It's great. It's so educational. Can you just keep giving that information? I say, yeah. I said, but why are people not taking advantage of it? Most of the time, it's called procrastination. So I want to talk to you about your 401k. That's where the majority of all of your retirement money is. For most people, either that or our individual retirement accounts. The question to ask yourself is, do I understand where my 401k is being invested, and do I feel as if it's properly allocated? If not, here's what I would recommend you do. Let us take a look at it and just do the once over on your 401k. We'll help you to pick out your existing 401k options. And when we do that, we will show you exactly where you should put it. And one day, maybe in hopes that you'll bring your money to us once you leave your job. So if you'd like to find out the steps for a free consultation, visit roymatlockjr.com and click free. free checkup and download How Money Works, the guide to understanding and fixing your finances. Or you can call us at 615-843-2999. That's 615-843-2999 and end the worries.
Roy Matlock Jr. is a registered representative with PFS Investments Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of PFS Investments, Inc. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. The information provided on this program is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only. Nothing contained herein is to be considered a solicitation, research material, an investment recommendation, or advice of any kind. The information contained herein may contain information that is subject to change without notice. Any investments or strategies referenced here and do not take into account the investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific person. Product suitability must be independently determined for each individual investor. Neither Roy Matlock Jr. nor PFS Investments, Inc. offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance.